just as we were in worship, I just had this picture of the Lord just lifting up his banner just over this whole place as we lifted up the name of Jesus and we sang just that the name Jesus. I just saw this massive banner. I just had a quick look and the Lord is my banner comes from Jehovah Nissi, which the Lord would put up his banner when they went into battle to bring victory and breakthrough. So I don't know, just as you were singing what you needed, but I felt like the Lord was just putting his banner over you and your situation today. So today I want to speak a message on do not let your hearts be troubled. And I kind of feel like we've already done this message through the worship today. So really it's more of a explaining really what happened in worship rather than us having the message and then kind of fulfilling it in worship at the end. But basically I had a dream a couple of weeks ago, and this is I guess where some of the message came from. And for me, it's I have lots of like random dreams, and none of them are make sense, and none of them flow. And if I wake up, I don't remember much of it. But this one was really, really vivid, and I want to share it because I feel like it's a word for the church today. So basically, I was in this two-story house. It was right near the beach, and there was a bunch of people in the house, and the news was on, and the news was reporting that there was these massive waves about to hit, and they were going to come and hit the house. And so in the house, there was a lot of panic going on, a lot of stress going on. But every time the wave was due to hit, the wave would come down to nothing and it would not hit. So this happened a couple of times until eventually the news reporter said, I know there's been lots of false alarms, but there is now going to be a 90-meter wave about to hit. And again, the people panicked and they were alarmed. And I remember ordering people to grab all the breakables, and there was two massive beds in the room and there was bedside tables. And I was telling them, take all the breakables off the bedside tables, put them on the floor and grab as many doonas and pillows as you can and embrace for the impact. And so we're all on our knees with our doonas and pillows over us as if that was going to save us. But anyway, that's what we were doing. And I remember going around, and I was trying to evangelize and tell people about the gospel just in case we didn't make it. And all of a sudden the wave hit. And I remember as the wave hit, I was just laughing and laughing. And I was like, gee, that wasn't that bad. That was actually quite fun. We should do that again. And then I woke up and it was 3 o'clock, and just like Pastor Fred shared, I woke up at 3 o'clock and I was wide awake, like I'd had all my sleep. And then suddenly the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, do not be fearful or intimidated by the threats of the evil one. There will be wars and there will be rumors of wars, but do not let your hearts be troubled. And a few months ago, I spoke about getting your roar back and not letting yourself come under the roar of intimidation that would bring fear and make you weary. And the devil loves to intimidate. He loves to exaggerate, to play on bad news. And we only have to look around at the world today or simply put the news on, and we literally see there are wars and rumours of wars. Every day it seems like there's some lost soul running around with a shotgun destroying people and situations. And so I read the next morning Matthew 24 where that verse comes from verse 6, and I want to look at it today. It says, there will be wars and rumours of wars, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And then it goes on to say, you will be persecuted, but encourages believers to stand firm until the end. And then he says, the whole gospel will be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come. Especially in these last times, I feel like the Lord is saying, whether it be in the world situation or in your own personal situations, regardless of what you see or what you hear or what comes against you, do not let your hearts be troubled. The NLT says, don't panic. And I feel like the Lord would say to some particular people today, don't panic. You may have heard things, you may have been given diagnoses, but don't panic. And a couple of days later, I was just thinking about that word. And I was like, Lord, do you want me to bring it to the church? And straight away, I got four things that I felt like the Lord say, instead of panicking, this is what I want you to do. So the first thing he said to me was stand firm, which I'm not going to go into because I spoke on that last time. But basically verse 12 of Matthew 24 says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So instead of letting your hearts be troubled, stand firm. Number two, spread the gospel. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And as I shared in that dream, I had such an urgency in my spirit that I needed to share the gospel with those that didn't. And I remember there was this one guy, and he was so resistant. He didn't seem to care. He was like, oh, it's... He just didn't seem to believe, and there was such a desperation in me. I'm like, you have to believe, the end's about to come. And I feel like the Lord is saying we need to live like the end is here. We need to have that urgency in our spirits, that we need to spread the gospel, because we don't know when the end's going to come. No, we don't want to make it until it's too late. The third thing, strategically pray. I feel like the Lord is really sending out a war cry at the moment that we need to rise up, church, and begin to pray. We need to begin to pray for this nation. I don't know if you saw, but Cindy Jacobs, a prophet and intercessor, recently issued a warning at the end of July. And she said she issued a warning to the west of Australia, saying that the enemy would try and come against those places that were known for being at peace, and that people kind of almost just weren't thinking of. It wasn't because they didn't think that the enemy would ever try and target those places. But the enemy is trying to, and we need to rise up and begin to pray for protection and safety. And we're not to pray out of fear or intimidation, but from a place of authority and faith in Jesus. And the last thing, instead of letting our hearts be troubled, and this is the point I want to focus on today, is we need to sing. After I got this dream, I was praying for confirmation. Lord, is this just because I ate something weird the night before? Is this a dream from you? And I felt it was from him, but Lord, I want confirmation about what it is that you're actually saying. And a few days later, I came across a bunch of prophetic words that had been given by a lady called Lana Vorsa. And she's an itinerant minister. She did her training at Tabor College. And her and her husband have been pastors for quite a long time. But now the Lord's released her to bring prophetic messages all over Australia and all over America. And she had two visions in June, which I just want to briefly gloss over today. The first vision that she had was there was these giants, massive, massive giants standing. And they were giants of intimidation. And they were standing in front of the waves of breakthrough and healing and acceleration that the Lord wanted to bring. And she asked the Lord, and she said, Lord, how are God's people meant to see these giants slayed? And she said, the Lord said to her, they need to sing. And as they began to sing of God's love and of his goodness and declare who the Lord was, who the Lord is and who they were in him, the giants were slayed. Another one that she had was a vision of a war zone, and the enemy was relentlessly firing or shooting fiery darts at people. And he was getting people, God's people were getting hit left, right and center, and a lot of them were hiding in caves because they were so fearful of the hits that they were receiving. And then all of a sudden the Lord began to call out in the midst of it, worship, worship, exert your authority in worship. And as God's people got off the ground and got out of the caves and began to stand firm in worship, the fiery darts turned to ping pong balls. And when the winds came, they blew them off direction and they just bounced off people and they no longer had any effect. And the Lord began to say, I am teaching my people to warfare in worship. I am beginning to move you to a higher place in me, a high vantage point, a higher resting in me where you live so deeply in the place of worship and are so awakened to your authority in me that you are shifting atmospheres. Worship and watch my spirit make a way into a brand new day of victory, victory that is already yours. One of the keys I believe God has given us, especially in the last days, is the weapons of worship and praise. All throughout the Bible, we see the power of praise. Paul and Silas, now they're in prison and they're praising the Lord, and the Lord breaks open the prison. But not only that, the greater miracle even was that the prison and all the prison guard and all his family came to the Lord. King David, he sang before Saul because Saul was being troubled by an evil spirit. And as he began to sing, the evil spirit departed and left Saul. Israel was often told to sing before they had saw God's breakthrough. They were told to almost sing in the breakthrough. And that's who I want to focus on today, because I believe it's keys for seeing intimidation and those impossible situations in our life shift. So I have 12 minutes. So we're going to have to work fast, and you're going to have to get, if you're taking notes, write fast. So I hope you've had your coffees this morning. All right, so Isaiah 42, which is what we're going to look at today. We can go back, to the start. Verse 9, see, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that's in it, you islands and all who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior he will stir up his zeal. With a shout he will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. So today I want to break down that passage and look at it in more detail. But basically the context for this is Israel is in a pit. Once again they're in a pit, and they're in captivity to the Babylonians. And they've been crying out to the Lord for a new day. And God, in his grace and mercy, comes to them and declares that a new day is coming for the people of Israel. That the Messiah was coming not only to them but also to the Gentiles. And then he tells them to sing a new song. Now, in the Bible, you will notice the phrase, sing to the Lord a new song. And it was awesome that Johnny mentioned it today, because I feel like the Lord is going to give people a new song, and the new song is going to bring breakthrough into your situations. But the new song was basically a song where they would, it was a spontaneous song, and it was a song where they would declare what the Lord had done and proclaim his marvelous works. And so Isaiah here is prophesying that one day all, including Jews and Gentiles, would sing this new song, would sing praise of what the Lord had done through the Messiah coming. But he's also telling them here, before the new day, before the breakthrough had come, to sing a new song. Before they had seen the new day, they were to sing praise to him about the new thing that God was going to do. So today I want to share three aspects of the power of a new song of praising the Lord to see breakthrough in these giants of intimidation. The first thing is praise. We need to praise despite the barrenness. If you can have the next slide. So basically, Israel's miserable. The Bible describes their state as being barren. They are small and they haven't seen victory or God's promises come to pass. And so, as I said, they're crying out for a new day, for God to bring breakthrough into their situation. And the Lord says, I'm going to come and bring a new day, but I want you to sing a new song. I want you to begin to declare who I am in spite of your situation or how you feel. I want you to make the intentional choice to praise me. And we see this exhortation again in Isaiah 54:1, where it says, sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song and shout for joy who were never in labour, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. So the barren woman here is Israel. Yet despite her current state of barrenness, God is telling her to sing, to rejoice as if she were not, and to sing in faith. And then he says, not only that, but if we carry on to the other verses, which I don't have up, but if you read it in verse 2, it says, begin to prepare for the new. Enlarge the place of your tent. And it's almost like this step of faith to see to usher in the new. And so there may be times in our lives where we feel barren, where we feel dry or weary, or we feel almost stuck, and we haven't seen breakthrough in the situations that we feel like God has said breakthrough is coming. Or we carry this weight or this heaviness of spirit, but praise breaks the barrenness. The new song brings new life. And the Bible says that God has given us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Yet we are to praise in that state of heaviness, and as we do that, that's when it shifts. When I spoke last about the lion message, a lady in this congregation shared a testimony about how she had come in and she just felt weighed down. She felt heavy and she had tried to shake it. She tried to lift it off. But it wasn't until the very end when we all came together and we lifted up a shout of praise that this thing lifted off. And there's something about... it's not fake. Like sometimes we think, we don't feel like it. But it's not fake, it's faith. As we praise despite how we feel. See, the Bible says in Psalm 34 to praise him at all times. And sometimes praise is a response. It's an automatic response to God's goodness that we've seen breakthrough. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard to worship, especially when you're in that place where you haven't come into that new day. But when we sing in faith and begin to declare who he is, something shifts. Our focus firstly shifts from where we are to who he is, but the atmosphere begins to shift. And I believe the Lord would encourage you today to sing, to lift the Lord above your situations, and to declare not what you see or feel, but begin to sing a new song. A song that would declare his greatness and might and his love. For as you do, I believe those barren areas or those areas void of hope, those areas bogged down by discouragement would begin to shift. And that heaviness would begin to lift. That fear would move from faith. That sorrow would move to joy. That barren to new life and hardness to softness of heart bound to free as we begin to praise him despite the barrenness. The second point, as we carry down Isaiah 42, it says, praise releases the Lord to battle. Verse 13 says that the Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal, and with a shout he will raise the battle cry. See, the Lord was going to defeat that which would come against the new day, and God's promise to bring salvation to all. And we see this principle at work throughout the Bible, but one of the greatest examples and one of my favorite stories comes from 2 Chronicles 20. And that's the great battle of Judah's king, King Jehoshaphat. So we don't have time to go through it all now, but I'll just give you context to what's up on the screen. But basically the king hears that there's this vast army coming against them. And there is no way in this world are they going to be able to fight them and going to be able to win. And so the king naturally freaks out. He is troubled because of wars and rumors of wars, and he knows that there's no way he can win. So he and the people made the Lord their first point of resort. And he says, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Now that's a really good place. See, it was natural for the king to fear, but he didn't camp in that fear. That as he shifted his eyes up to the Lord, he then heard what the Lord said about the situation. So often the Lord is doing the opposite of what we actually see in the natural. And often what we see in the natural is really just a smoke screen to get us to fear and to be intimidated. But that's not what the Lord is saying or doing. And I feel like the Lord wants to give you a new perspective today. And as we begin to praise and sing, that's when we gain that new perspective. And so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehezazel and he said, "Listen up, all you who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you." And then Jehoshaphat and his people responded in worship and very loud praise. And then early the next morning they set out to face the army, and the king tells his people to have faith in God and then employs a very interesting strategy. He appoints men to stand in the front line, but not to fight as you would usually do, but rather to sing and praise the Lord. And verse 22 says that as they began to sing and praise the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. You know, it's an incredible story. Like sometimes when we've heard a story over and over, it loses its significance. But if you can imagine, this was a massive army coming against them. And in the natural, it was quite foolish just to put your front men just to sing. I don't even know if they had weapons. It doesn't say they had weapons. They were just going to sing. But as they worshipped, the Lord went to war. As they praised, the Lord fought the battle. And finally, the Lord brought breakthrough, which is my last point. Praise brings the breakthrough. So if we go back to Isaiah 42, it talks about how the Lord will march out like a warrior. And then at the end it says, and will triumph over his enemies. So it's not necessarily the praise that brings the breakthrough. Obviously it's the Lord. But Psalm 22 talks about how the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And Isaiah 60 verse 18 talks about how that the gates are called praise. And so it's almost like the praise, like our praise ushers in the Lord's presence and sends the enemy running. The enemy, the praise is like, who loves the sound of running your nails down blackboards? Who loves it? If you do, you need prayer. But basically that sound is like how praise and worship is to the enemy. You don't want to be in that atmosphere of screeching your nails down a blackboard, and that's the same as the enemy. And Cindy Jacob writes, when we praise God, he inhabits or enters our praises, and his power overwhelms the power of the enemy. He is a mighty God, and Satan cannot match God's strength. Light will dispel darkness through God entering into our praise. And there's an awesome psalm that talks about in Psalm 8:2 that says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Do you know, even infants and God's children, as they praise in whatever way that is, the Lord works to bring silence to the enemy. Psalm 149 says in verse 1, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their king with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. God has given us weapons of worship and praise. And it's not just about singing and feeling goosebumps, but as we begin to sing and praise, the Lord actually works and moves and battles on our behalf. He sends up that Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Recently, I heard a story by Pastor Bill Johnson, and he spoke about one of his friends who worked in the streets of San Francisco. And he'd worked there for years in hope of bringing the gospel to the people. And he would send out teams to evangelize, but basically he would never have the breakthrough. In fact, he used to have death threats against him. And one day, the Lord began to show him a concept in Scripture about worship and about praise. And he decided to employ a different strategy. And so he took his team and he split them into two teams. And he sent one to through the streets just worshiping and praising, and the other one to evangelize. Anyway, a couple of days later, the police rang him. And they said, you know, whenever your people are on the streets, the crime rate is brought down to nothing. There is no crime when your people are on the streets. As he began to employ people to begin to sing and to praise and begin to see the atmospheres begin to shift and the eyes begin to open up. You know, it's amazing. We need to grab hold of this principle that the Lord's given us. Cindy Jacobs told a testimony about how her son was born with a club foot and it wouldn't flex, and therefore he couldn't walk. And one night she felt to sing this song. The Lord gave her a song about the devil had me bound, but Jesus set me free. And she began to sing that over and over again for about an hour, and then she put her son to sleep. The next morning she's changing his nappy, and she noticed that he could move his foot and that she could put shoes on his feet, and he had been completely healed of his club feet. Healing. I feel like the Lord wants to bring healing, and we had that word at the back, that as we begin to praise and worship, that the Lord would fight on our behalf. But we don't praise or worship to get God to do what we want. That would be called manipulation. Notice that King Jehoshaphat and his people didn't worship to win. It says in verse 21, I think I've got it up there. PowerPoint's gone. Anyway, in verse 21 it says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. So we worship God for his holiness and for who he is. But as we worship, he moves on our behalf. If I can have the worship team, please. Now, there are times in our lives that we may feel stuck or whatever. We feel like the situation hasn't changed. We're still in the old and we haven't yet come into the new. We haven't seen necessary God's promises fulfilled. And I was just thinking even last night, I just began to sing the great south land of the Holy Spirit. See, the enemy would love us to think that all this stuff is happening and this is a lost cause in Australia, but as we begin to declare and sing what God says, things will begin to shift. And I feel like the Lord would say to you today, don't sing the song of your situation. Begin to sing the song of the Lord. That means that when you get a diagnosis, you don't sing the diagnosis, you sing the answer to the diagnosis. You begin to sing who he is and who he says he is. And as we do, the enemy flees and the glory of the Lord enters in. So I started today with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let the enemy bring intimidation or fear, because it's simply a smokescreen. Instead, we are called to stand firm, to spread the gospel, strategically pray, and finally sing. I feel like the Lord is wanting to teach his people how to war through worship. How to push back the darkness through praise. To not be intimidated or to be troubled by what we hear or see, but to make the choice to intentionally magnify and praise Jesus above the giants, above the opposition, and above our situations. That as you do, he is being exalted, and his angels are coming to bring protection. That as you praise him, the atmosphere is shifting and the enemy is being silenced. That the barren ground is breaking open and living water is springing forth. That the 90-meter wave that the enemy intended to destroy you is being turned around by the Lord to bring blessing. That his waves of grace and his waves of goodness is being poured out and is washing away doubt. It's washing away fear and it's washing away intimidation. And it's coming to bring healing, it's coming to bring restoration, and it's coming to bring breakthrough in Jesus' name. So I just really feel like we're going to come into a time of praise and worship. And you know what? You may have already had breakthrough. We had an awesome time this morning. And so as I said, I feel like this is almost like just a confirmation of what already happened. But I feel like the Lord wants to give people here today a new song. That it's going to break off the old. It's going to bring in you into a new season in Him. A new season of breakthrough and victory. New season to seek healing, not only for your own lives, but for this nation, that we would sing a new song over this nation, that we wouldn't echo what we see, but we would begin to declare what God says. So what are we going to sing? First one, Jesus' name. We're going to sing Jesus' name. So if you would like to sing, stand up. And whatever it is, this song was written by Darlene Check because she was sick of seeing cancer. And so she wrote a song to see cancer broken in Jesus' name. But whatever it is that you're believing for, I just feel like you need to sing this in declaration today over this nation, over your situation, over other people's situations, that we would see his healing come.